And unto thee do we send up glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Let us attend the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The joy of the feast be with you. It says that when Jesus came up from the Jordan, the heavens opened. Jesus is baptized by John, who in his clothing, in what he ate, in his message, and even where he was baptizing is shown to be the prophet Elijah that was foretold by the prophets, the Elijah who would precede the coming of the Messiah. And it says that the people of Judah and all of Jerusalem were going out to where John was. That means out of the cities and into the desert to be baptized by him. All of these details are showing forth a new exodus. The exodus of the gospel. The Jordan is where Israel crossed, following Joshua into Canaan, the land of promise, given them by God as their inheritance. This spot, at the Jordan where John baptized Jesus, may well be where Israel crossed over behind Joshua. But back then, they were going westward from the desert on the eastern side of the Jordan into the cities of the Promised Land. This may also be the spot where the prophet Elijah, as he was directed by the Lord, crossed over. This is why I say that even where John was baptizing shows him to be the Elijah that was prophesied by the prophets. As I say, this may have been the spot where Elijah crossed over. But Elijah was going eastward. He was going out of the cities and into the desert. And there he was taken up in a fiery chariot into the opened heavens. And here is where the new Joshua, Jesus, comes to the Jordan to be baptized by the new Elijah, John the Baptist. And he and all the people, as it says, they're going in the direction that Elijah took. That is to say, they're going eastward. They're coming out of the cities, and they're coming into the desert. And here again, the heavens open, as they did for Elijah, when Jesus comes up from the depths of the Jordan. It's like the whole history of the Old Testament is condensed in this mystery of Christ, blessed the theophany. Jesus' baptism marks that point in both the geography of the Promised Land and also in the history of Israel. So in other words, in both space and in time, where the Exodus of Israel ends and opens onto a new Exodus. As on the day that Elijah was taken up to heaven in the fiery chariot, the heavens open. But note that they open beyond the Jordan. They open in the desert, outside the city. That means that this is not another Exodus. It's not a geographical Exodus to a different part of the globe's geography. This is a spiritual Exodus. The movement of the Exodus has changed. It is no longer a movement across geography. It is now a mystical movement, an interior movement into the heavens that were opened when Jesus came up from the Jordan. So an inner exodus has begun with the Lord's baptism. The old exodus has ended. A new exodus, the exodus of the gospel, has begun. This is an inner exodus that begins in the Egypt of this worldly life. It descends into the waters of Jesus' death. And from there, it ascends with the risen Lord Jesus into the heavens. But brothers and sisters, these are not heavens that are up there someplace in the sky. If that's how we conceive it, then we're still thinking in terms of this world, in terms of space, time. These heavens are the deep of the human heart. They are the beyond, where is found our true self. And I'm referring here again to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. The heart is deep beyond all things, says Jeremiah in the Septuagint, and it is the man. These heavens that open in the mystery of Christ's baptism when he comes up from the depths of the Jordan, these are the beyond, these are the mystery where God is. They are the mystery of your heart, where you find Christ in you, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians. This spiritual exodus of the gospel that is made manifest this morning at the Jordan is given in certain details that show the unity of the Lord's baptism with his death on the cross. Both St. Mark and St. Matthew say that when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, the curtain of the Holy of Holies of the temple, it says, was split in two. This is the same verb that St. Mark uses to say that when Jesus comes out from the Jordan, the heavens were split in two. St. Matthew and St. Luke, on the other hand, say that when Jesus came up out of the Jordan, the heavens were opened. And this is the verb that St. Matthew uses to say that when Jesus died on the cross, the graves of the dead were opened. Dear faithful, this feast that we call Theophany, the manifestation of God, shows God standing in the Jordan, wearing the creation as a garment. But if he's wearing the creation as a garment, that means that he is wearing as his clothing the death and the corruption that the creation is subject to. And this shows us that the Lord's Pascha has begun. The exodus into the heavens has begun with this feast.
Well, actually, it began at the conception of Christ, and it continued at his birth, and it continued at his circumcision. But now you might say it becomes clear, it becomes manifest. The new Exodus that was announced by the prophet Ezekiel has begun. And I mention the prophet Ezekiel because I want you to remember that we read this prophecy of Ezekiel at the Matins for Great and Holy Saturday. After we have processed around the church, remember that we're processing around the church behind, we're following the shroud that has the image of Jesus' corpse on it. And after we have processed around the church three times at the end of that Matins service, we sing it actually on Great and Holy Friday, but it is the Matins for Great and Holy Saturday. We pass under the shroud, we come back into the church, and we come back under the shroud, as though we're entering the Lord's tomb, because there's his tomb set up right there. And we pass in under the shroud, and after everybody has come back in, the shroud with the image of Jesus' corpse is placed back on the tomb. It's as though we are entering the Lord's tomb. The Lord's tomb that is not yet emptied, but is about to be emptied. These movements of the church in space and time are holy. They are veils that hide, even as they reveal, this inner exodus of the soul that first comes into manifestation at the Lord's baptism in the Jordan. They reveal the inner exodus of the soul that these movements of the church's liturgical worship carry. Outwardly, visibly, we exit the church and we process around it three times. Then we return into the church, passing under the shroud. But these outward movements carry mystically. You might say they are soaking wet with the living waters of the Jordan. And as we engage those movements, they carry us mystically onto this path of the inward spiritual exodus of the gospel. And so the mystical spiritual substance, and when we in the Orthodox Church say mystical, we mean real. In these mystical movements of the church, we are in reality being led out of the cities of this world into the desert of our soul, into the Lord's tomb, and into our heart, right there at that spot where we are separated from God by the wall of enmity, right there in that spot where we are dead in our sins and trespasses. These mystical movements, these liturgical movements of the church, bring us to this mystical spot at the Jordan, found in our own spot, in our own spirit, where the heavens have been opened once and for all by the Lord at the Jordan for all who would follow the Christ, the King of heaven and earth, the new Joshua, who would follow him to his cross outside the city and into his tomb in the garden. For in the garden, where the Lord's tomb is, the graves have been opened out into the garden of the Lord's resurrection, so that entering the Lord's tomb, those who have died in union with Christ through the mystery of their holy baptism, their own participation in the mystery of Christ's baptism at the Jordan, they are raised, just as was Elijah. They are raised up in the fiery chariot of the Blessed Virgin and her Son to follow Christ the Lord into their own land, as Ezekiel foretold. The true promised land, the holy city that is not the earthly, but the heavenly Jerusalem. You remember that passage? I don't have it here in the text of my sermon. I must have overlooked it, but I want you to understand which passage from Ezekiel I'm referring to. Most of you probably know. It's that part, you know, it's chapter 37. After describing the raising of the dry bones by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon those dry bones and joining sinew to sinew and bone to bone and raising them up living again. It goes on to say, and this is perhaps the most dramatic part of the prophecy, but we kind of, I think we may overlook it because the other part was so dramatic that after we've listened to it, we're still caught in what we just heard, and we might miss what follows. The prophet Ezekiel, from the word of the Lord, says, I will raise you from your graves. I will open your tombs, and I will raise you from your graves, and I will bring you into your own land. And you will know that I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, have done it. This is the prophecy that I'm beginning to think is at the heart of the church's worship. You can find this prophecy in one form or another, implicit or explicit. You can find it in every feast of the church, in every service of the church. It's all about the graves being emptied as we sing on Pascha night. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. He's emptying the tombs. The path of this exodus that descends down into the depths of the Jordan and into the deep of the human heart, and from there ascends up to God, is Christ Jesus himself, as he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Brothers and sisters, Orthodox faith matters. What's at stake is whether or not we're on the path that is taking us to the Father. I don't want to be on a path that has been configured by some human person who's interpreting the gospel in his own way. I want that path that is Christ himself. And that path, of course, is the church. The church that is, in fact, the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, last Sunday I set before you a hymn from Christmas and one from the Oktoikos. This from Christmas. Of old, the master that works wonders saved his people, making the watery wave of the sea into dry land. And now of his own will has he been born from a maiden. And so he establishes a path for us, whereby we may mount to heaven. What do you think this path is that he has established for us from his conception and his birth of the Virgin, if it is not himself? His own flesh and blood. His own deified flesh and blood. And then we find this in the Oktoikos. This is from Tone 2. Of old, the strangely solidified path amid the sea revealed thy birth-giving, O pure Theotokos. You see that it is saying how the passing through the Red Sea, the path that the Israelites followed through the Red Sea, was an image of Christ who would be born of the Virgin Theotokos. The joy of Christmas is that the path that ascends to heaven has come into the world. The path is the Son of God himself. The path is his flesh. The path is his body that is now among us as the true temple of God. It's among us, brothers and sisters. You have eaten and drunk it. It's in you. That path to heaven is in you. Not in theory. Mystically, hidden in reality. Because you have eaten it and you have drunken it. And now at this Feast of the Jordan, our understanding is illumined by this hymn of the feast. Of old, the Jordan was parted in two, and the people of Israel passed over on a narrow piece of dry land, prefiguring thee, O Lord most powerful. Remember the Lord talking about the narrow path, and few there be who find it. He is the narrow path that was prefigured on this narrow piece of dry land that went through the Red Sea. And this hymn continues, O Lord most powerful, that is to say, you can know, O narrow path most powerful, who now makest haste to bear the creation. You see, he's got all of creation, and he has become flesh. He has assumed all of creation. He's wearing creation as his garment. And as it says, he is now making haste to bear the creation down into the stream, down into the depths of the Jordan, bringing it to a better and changeless path. This is the path at the bottom of the Jordan, in the pit of our heart, where we are dead in our sins and trespasses, in the very midst of our grave, in the tomb, in our death. This is where the path begins that ascends to God. This is the better and changeless path that ascends to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of heaven and earth, who in his flesh united to ours, he is the path who leads us outside the city of this worldly life with all of its messed up values and idolatries of every kind and all the brokenness that comes from those idolatries. He leads us out of the cities of this worldly life. Do you remember where he goes once he's come out of, when he comes out of the Jordan? Where does he go? Where is he led? He's led into the desert, into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And so if you have united yourself to Christ, where do you think you're going to go if you're following him? He's going to lead you into the wilderness of your soul, into the desert of our soul, and into the tomb of our heart, where we are dead in our sins and trespasses. And there he's going to lead us into his own tomb, found in the deep of our own heart. That is the spot deep within us where the Lord has opened the gates of heaven, and where the path, Jesus Christ himself, has blazed the trail that ascends up to God, whereby we may mount to heaven. Dear faithful, to believe in Jesus Christ does not mean to believe in him, as so many take believing to mean. You can believe. You can even believe the right things with zeal and gusto and conviction until you make yourself absolutely obnoxious. But you are still dead in your sins and trespasses. To believe in Jesus Christ means to do as he says. Deny yourself, he says. Take up your cross and follow him into the wilderness of your soul. For what purpose? To put the devil to flight. Not by your own power, but by the power of the Lord's cross that you take up. The cross of the Lord are the ascetical disciplines of the church's liturgical and sacramental worship. From the Jordan of our baptism and from the wilderness of our soul, we now follow our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow him throughout all of Galilee. That is, we follow him throughout our whole being. And we bring to him our brokenness. We bring to him our body, our mind, and our heart, that he may heal us of our blindness, of our deafness, and of the paralysis, and all the brokenness that has come upon us because of our idolatry, so that we can take up our bed and walk on the path of this new Exodus, the path that is Christ himself, this path that descends into the tomb of Christ, in order that we might ascend with Christ up to God. We unite ourselves to Christ not just with our heads, but with our bodies, our soul, our heart. We unite ourselves to Christ with our eyes, with our ears, with our tongue, with our hands, with our feet, with our thoughts, with our desires. Everything about us must be united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it must be put to death. It must go into the tomb with the Lord so that it can be destroyed and made new, so that the Lord can raise us from our graves and bring us up to the heavens, to our own land, which is Christ himself. We unite ourselves to Christ, as I said, not by believing, but by self-denial and taking up the ascetical disciplines of the cross in order to put to death all in us that is of death, all in us that separates us from God, that we may be raised from our grave to follow the path of Christ himself, and to follow him out into the garden of his resurrection, into the deep of our heart, and out into the mystery of Christ in you that is beyond all things. For the faith of the church isn't to believe as we think of believing. The faith of the church is to love Christ with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and in that love to become so one with him that we are transformed, transfigured, changed within, with a soul made whole and clean and living, in a heart that is made new and soft and warm, and a spirit that is made fragrant in the luminous joy of Christ's Holy Spirit. Dear faithful, may the Pascha of the Lord begin today at this feast, at this very hour, this very moment, in each and every one of us. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.